And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of November 12th, 2019. Today, we're happy to be joined by our co-host, the author and educator, Ms. Mariah Tinger. How are you doing, Mariah?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Glad to have you here. So, Mariah, there here in Massachusetts, the top climate issue is the Weymouth Compressor Station. And the Weymouth Compressor Station, if you have not heard of it, is a industrial facility to be built in Weymouth, which is a quaint New England town on the shore of Boston Harbor. But it's crowded and it's dense, and this big fossil fuel infrastructure would be built. It would be providing poisonous air to the children in the nearby schools. I mean, it's just an all-around bad thing. We've talked about it in various shows. You can catch up with the details if you want. We'll put up links to the various very good programming. But I just wanted to touch base on the status of that, because the story keeps happening fast, right? And it doesn't get that much coverage. WBUR has been doing a good job lately of keeping up with the ups and downs, and there are other reporters, but it does not make the front page of the Globe, for example. We of course have done our. We had Nathan Phillips, who was arrested in a civil disobedience action a few weeks ago, right? And we've had tried to keep up, but as I say, it's a fast-moving story. Here's the situation right now. There is only one remaining permit that must be granted to the Weymouth, to Enbridge, which is the company that desires to build this industrial compressor station, right? One remaining state permit is called a coastal zone management permit, and they're looking for, well, I'm not exactly sure what they're looking for, but it's a final permit that is to be granted. When that permit is granted, Enbridge, the company that wants to build a compressor station, will go back to FERC, that is to say the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and get final permission to send the bulldozer in and start building, right? So we're that close to things. The coastal zone management permit was slated to be decided a few days, like the 2nd, November 2nd or so. It's currently been postponed to November 12th. It's unclear why that has been postponed. Is it a good sign or not? Unclear, but that's the permit. Right now, Governor Baker has the ability to reject that permit. He's the governor, right? If he doesn't want it to go through, it's not going to go through. If he wants it to go through, it will go through, right? And the governor has frequently said that his hands are tied by the federal government process. He can't do anything about it, which I don't buy, but there you go. So there is this coastal zone management permit that's coming. There's a second thing, though, that's even more interesting that's happened over the last few days. I don't know if you saw any of this, Mariah, but WBUR radio station, in particular the environmental show Earthwhile, has done some digging, and they found out that the people, the other companies that would buy the compressed natural gas, right? So just to keep track of all the players here, Enbridge wants to build this compressor station that compresses natural gas and pushes it out of Boston, basically out of the state of Massachusetts at higher pressure, right?
Out of the country.
Other customers want to buy that gas, right? Buy the gas. And those customers have started to back out. So recently there's two, I forget, do you have the names, Mariah?
National Grid and Eversource.
Right.
They said that they don't need the compressor station.
But I've got that, that New Brunswick-based New England Natural Gas Supply and a company called Exelon have decided they don't want the contracts to buy the, long-term, decade-long contracts to buy the natural gas that the compressor would supply. Okay, so now the financial case for the compressor is weaker. And then at that point, Mariah, National Grid said, okay, I'll buy that gas. Right. But then National Grid, which is the Massachusetts supplier, says, Yeah, I'll buy that gas, but I don't need it from the compressor station. We don't need the compressor station to get me the gas because I'm right here in Massachusetts already. And so that, again, makes the case for the public benefit of the Weymouth compressor that much weaker, right? And so there's still a couple of utilities up in Maine, northern Maine, that want, you know, still have contracts to buy the gas, right? Again, the way all this works is that Enbridge is going to build this compressor, and then they get a 10 or 20 year contract to supply gas to some utility or power plant up in Maine someplace, right? Those people have not backed out, but there's a lot less of a compelling case that the compressor is required for a public benefit. And interestingly enough, the Federal Energy Regulatory Committee, FERC, is required to certify that the compressor would be a public benefit. Right, so there's a lot going on around the Weymouth compressor. You may not see it in the Globe, or maybe you will, but certainly WBUR is carrying it. It's on Twitter. You go look and you look for hashtag No Compressor. You can follow this stuff. But it's an important story because there's some hint that this Enbridge company that wants to build the compressor is ready to send the bulldozers in even before they get the permits. Even before they get the final permits, they're going to start building stuff on the presumption that it's all going to come through. I mean, that level of arrogance, you just imagine, would drive people in Weymouth cuckoo. I guess we've made the case before that Weymouth is a template for the rest of us. It is not an isolated thing happening in somebody else's town. It's something that we all need to be concerned about because if they can do it to Weymouth, they're going to turn around and do it to somebody else. You should know that Weymouth, just as an example of why this is important, the Weymouth compressor station is the first example of one of these compressor stations being placed and constructed in an populated urban center. Okay, most of the other compressor stations are out in the middle of fields and more rural areas. If they can build this compressor station in downtown Weymouth by the Four River Bridge near schools and housing projects, they can build anything, any place they want. Right, so take that as a reason to care. Right, Mariah?
And it's an interesting situation too, where you said that the excuse me. You know, whether or not FERC is going to move things forward. Excuse me. Depends on if it can show the public, you know, the public benefit. But are the externalities taken into consideration when they're talking about the public benefit? Are they thinking about the disruptions to health and, you know, the other problems that the compressor may have that we've talked about on the show before with you know, toxins that may be released into the air and so on and so forth.
Well, there was a call. It's useful to follow the No Compressor website and the Twitter feed because they've been seeking comments, I guess, on the draft plan for the that must relate to the coastal zone management. And they just want exactly that thing. I mean, what are the questions that Enbridge, the people who want to build it. And one of the questions I sent in the question and say, right, when the inevitable flood overwashes the site that this thing is going to be built on. And again, dear listener, if you haven't seen it, on top of all the other bad things, they want to build this industrial compressor site on ash fill that's like a few inches above the water line. And so the next big storm, the whole thing's going to be flooded, right? And if that whole thing gets flooded, what's going to happen to the toxins? Are they all going to wash out into Boston Harbor and, poison the water for everyone? I mean, just, I don't know. It's not good.
Yeah.
So there you go. So there's the Weymouth story. But I did, in my heart, I want to be a novelist. Maybe I want to write the next Tom Clancy novel. So let me give you this thinly shrouded speculation on my part.
Ted's conspiracy theories.
I'm gonna put on my aluminum, my tinfoil hat. Here we go. When we talk about this compressor station, right, the compressor station is designed to recompress the gas so that it can move through the pipeline for another 100 miles or so. Okay, 100 miles from Weymouth is certainly outside the state of Massachusetts, well on its way to Canada, right? So there is an argument, and I think it's real, and I think it's been admitted by the Enbridge people that want to build a compressor, that mostly they want this compressor so that they can get the gas up to Canada and export it by getting it up to someplace in New Brunswick, liquefying it, putting it on a big tanker, and sending it somewhere, probably to Europe. Okay, so they want to export this gas. Okay, so you're talking about natural gas exports, and you say, where have I heard that before? Well, for those of you who have been living in a cave for the last few weeks, you may have missed the fact that much of the current presidential impeachment stuff is tied up with a Ukrainian natural gas company, right? So, okay, so you get natural gas in two places. And one of the principal players in the effort that's going on in Ukraine has been from Rick Perry, right? Dancing with the Stars, Rick Perry, right? He almost made it big on Dancing with the Stars, but then he got to be head of the Department of Energy. Right? And I don't know if you remember, Mariah, but last June or so, May, June, we were joking about how the Department of Energy had labeled natural gas freedom molecules, right? That this was the best thing.
Right.
And that the idea was that natural gas from the United States would liberate the rest of the world, right? And so now you have Rick Perry over in the Ukraine talking to officials there about the natural gas infrastructure in Ukraine. Okay, and so here's where then the story goes one step farther, a little bit more speculative. I saw Rachel Maddow the other night saying how the current head of the Ukrainian natural gas company is a new guy who's clean and not corrupted. And what he has done is to cut down on Russian imports of natural gas into the Ukraine. And I don't know if you remember, maybe 5 years ago, Russia just cut off natural gas to Ukraine in the middle of winter, just to prove that who was the biggest dog in the room, right? Just to make sure the Ukrainians knew what could happen to them if they didn't play nice with Mr. Putin. Right? He turned off the gas. Right? So it's in Ukraine's interest to not be dependent on Russia for its natural gas supply. According to Rachel Maddow, this guy has succeeded, and Ukraine is much less dependent on Russia for natural gas. Now, whether Mr. Perry, who danced his way through Kiev to a sprightly tune, right, he is certainly representing American natural gas exporters. So now you get to where the mystery is. Of course, not. This is all my ideas. I mean, you get to this idea that somehow Rick Perry is talking to Igor and Lev, right? The two mugshot guys that are hanging around Giuliani. Perry's talking to trying to get rid of this clean CEO of the Ukrainian natural gas company in order to either get American natural gas in there, which probably passed through the Weymouth compressor, or to allow Mr. Putin back in and supply natural gas and keep Ukraine in a subservient position. I don't know, but that's, put that in your proverbial pipe and smoke it.
Well, and then the other thing that's interesting about those two guys, Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman, they were recently arrested. They have been funneling foreign funds through a company and in a way that they were concealed, so it wasn't clear that they were foreign funds, that was giving money to the super PACs for Donald Trump's election, right? And so they've recently been arrested for that. And, you know, that kind of connects them to Trump in this very suspicious way. Of course, he denies, I don't know those men. And then he says that, and then all these pictures surface of him hanging out with those men and, you know, Donnie Trump Jr. hanging out with those men. And, well, I get pictures with everyone, he says. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
I meet an Igor every day.
Exactly. But they gave well over, I don't know, 300,000, I'm sure, who knows how much, but to his campaign to get him elected. So that thickens the plot
Well,
that you're putting out there.
I mean, I think that the, we sometimes, it's hard to have a culprit or a bad guy in the climate world, right? Because the easiest thing is to run around and say, well, we're all at fault. We all drive cars. We all live in houses that require heating, right? There is no, the bad guy is us. And I think that that is an argument that we need to push back on, is that the fossil fuel industry is full well aware of the climate impacts of their product, and they are determined to maintain the hegemony or the monopoly that oil and gas has on electrical generation and providing energy to the world. They will do whatever they need to. And so it's just interesting to see how little Weymouth, Massachusetts, you can spin a plausible tale. Let me put it that way. You could spin a plausible tale that connects Weymouth to Kiev, right? And there's enough uncertainty around it. I mean, I have no proof. I just, in my idle hours, I get to cook up conspiracy theories. So we'll put it down there, Mariah, before we libel someone and end up in court. You can check out the links to most of what we discussed at the blog at massclimateaction.org/blog. Although I can don't bother going there for my conspiracy theories. There's no data to support them. They're just wild. There's no links to support my theories. You can find us on Facebook at Mass Climate Action. You can listen to us directly on your smartphone using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, all the modern podcast application apps. We are on Spotify if you're a millennial. You should know that everything we say here is the opinions of the speakers and not of MCAN. We want to thank our friend D.R. Tucker for sending us links and inspiration every week. If you have something you want to tell us about, tell us your theory, your conspiracy theory about natural gas, send it to podcast@massclimateaction.net. So we're going to close you where we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and that we believe it's our patriotic duty to speak out. So we must insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our future. So, Mariah, thank you so much. Do I look good in my aluminum hat?
Oh, it's a great, it's a good
Great
look for
hat?
you.
Good, good, good.
Thank
I'm
you.
going to keep it on. Anyway, thanks everyone for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.